This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Friday. We're rocking you from the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show.
And rocking we are. It's been a boisterous show, to say the least. Chock full of hot sports stories.
We're at the convention center where you can test drive various models of vehicles or automobiles, if you call them automobiles or cars.
Well, vehicles don't have to be cars. Like a boat or a plane is a vehicle, right? Vehicle's just a thing that transports people.
A boat's a vehicle?
I thought so.
Boy, that's news to me.
I've never heard...
Because they're motor vehicles. It's something that moves you around that has a motor.
Huh.
So like different modes of transportation.
Would an airplane then be a vehicle?
Yeah, I think airplane then trains.
Be a motor vehicle.
Huh.
You're saying an airplane is a motor vehicle?
Well, but...
It has a motor. It has an engine.
An EV doesn't have a motor, though. My car does not have a motor. Does that make it a motor vehicle?
No, it just makes it a vehicle.
There's only one man that can answer all these questions.
And he's going to be on this show.
Yeah. That's right. His name is Greg Remensperger, and he's the executive director of the Auto Show. And that son of a bitch is going to sit right there, and he's going to answer these questions.
We're going to grill him. He's not prepared.
He's not.
He's not ready for what
Somebody
we're
bringing. Somebody
warn him. Yeah.
Well, anyway, you can test drive cars. You can win a Chevy Equinox. You can enjoy the tailgate lounge.
Yeah, right here. Although our bartender...
Bradley.
Bradley is gone.
Yeah.
He's left.
Well, we shamed him.
Yeah, I don't think, he liked it.
Well, look, it was his fault.
Yeah.
He said it was a pale ale that we ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So we ordered it, or that, you know, that we would like. He said the beer.
You did not like it?
Well, no, it was an IPA.
Oh, well, that is it.
It is, but that's a technicality. Like, you need to distinguish whether it's a pale ale or an IPA. Mm-hmm. For me,
we've gotten into this whole now. This is like the is they playing a vehicle?
Yeah, it's a little bit
that. We're in another.
Well,
this is a death loop again.
I don't know what. Maybe they yanked him, and they're talking to him back there because I don't know what he was dug in on it.
He went to
and
like
I said, listen.
He went to a beer re-education camp.
I think right in the back there.
Oh, yeah,
because I said
curtain.
Bradley,
oh, boy.
You did not say that was an IPA.
Mm.
Well, I said it was a pale ale.
Oh boy.
Am I wrong that those are different things?
I'm saying you inadvertently
That's a different beer.
I think you got Bradley sent to the gulag back there. Wow.
So I got a Pilsner.
It's your
a little
fault.
More of my speed.
It's your fault for ordering a pale ale to begin with.
You don't like pale ales?
Hate them.
Really?
Nope.
I like a decent pale ale.
I can't do a pale ale. I hate IPAs.
Yeah, I don't like IPAs.
No, I'd rather go with a stout.
I don't know how guys drink. You see these guys who just drink IPA after IPA. How do they do that?
I have no idea.
And how do they not have an extended belly?
If I'm drinking beers, you know my long standing, we don't go for a drink. You better not invite me out for a beer. We're having beers. And I don't know how anyone drinks more than one of those and then feels like doing anything. Like, you just need to lay down and have a nap. You're all bloated.
Right.
So it doesn't, I just can't. It doesn't work.
Well, anyway, come on out. Convention Center, be open till Sunday.
Come have a nice lager with me.
Coming up next, we'll talk about this Nebraska-Tennessee thing.
Yeah, Nebraska's taking some heat.
Yeah.
And they probably should.
Well, they've been trying. Well, we'll talk about it in our next segment.
We'll discuss.
Right now.
Maybe.
Oh, and then Joey Harrington, 5:30.
Yeah.
And then Greg will sit down with us. But right now, it's time for the Hot 5 at 5. Scalding.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Well, we have a full slate in the NBA tonight. I see where the Cavaliers lead the Knicks 63-43. Still 4 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a big matchup.
Yikes.
Turns out that's just an old-fashioned ass-kicking.
Look at the Wizards. Okay, the Wizards are beating the Bucks. By the way, the Wizards are 9-45.
Yeah, it's the worst team in the NBA by a mile.
I saw a stat today that said that they've only been under a 7-point underdog, I think, twice all year.
Yeah.
One of them was tonight. I would imagine that's because they're hosting the Bucks. Yeah, the Bucks imagine they're not playing anyone.
It has to be.
But I don't know. Wizards lead 54-46.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
By 20.
They will lose, yes. That's a great time to lie. I don't know what the live spread. Buck, would you look into that? Because I may live bet that right now.
Zeke wants to live bet it.
I do want to live bet the Bucks.
I got a top 25 score for you. Marquette is ranked 16th. They are losing at Villanova 46-33 at half. We also have...
Souk, the live line is Bucks plus 2.5, or you can take Bucks on the money line plus 115.
Dude, let's go.
Plus 115?
The Bucks are winning that.
We also have Michigan State tonight. Michigan ranked 12th, Michigan State 14th. Good little matchup.
That is a good little matchup.
Dusty May, the Michigan coach, got an extension today. He's done a really good job there. I've watched Michigan a few times this year. Mm-hmm. They are nasty. Like, and they have 2 7-footers in the middle.
Did they? I was going to say, I thought they thumped Oregon not too long ago. Or was it Michigan State that thumped them and then Michigan was a close game?
Michigan State beat... Oregon went down to East Lansing and lost to Michigan State. I think they were winning at half and then they got blitzed in the second half.
That was part of their six-game losing streak where they lost to Michigan and Michigan State.
But this is a good game tonight. I mean, Michigan's they're pretty good. Yeah. And Dusty May was a good hire for them. So he got a big extension today. Gets a bunch of, you know, money, U.S. dollars and things.
Not Canadian dollars. He's not going over to Windsor.
But this is his first year there.
Yeah, was it Juwan Howard, right? Before him?
Yeah. Who sucked.
Well, and he got caught up in some things. Juwan Howard had some issues.
Number three.
Saints are hiring Brandon Staley as their defensive coordinator. He is, interestingly...
That Brandon Staley.
Yeah, you remember him?
I do remember.
Well, Kellen Moore worked for Brandon Staley with the Chargers.
Yep.
He was the OC. Staley was the head coach.
It's flipped.
And now he is hiring his old boss.
Well, it's windy. You know, you see these guys. Brandon Staley obviously got raked over the coals. He was a terrible head coach. Situational football. But, you know, he was a great defensive coordinator. And which is why he got the job in the first place. Sometimes it's just you can't make the jump. And we'll see how Kellen Moore does, who's a respected guy, but again, has never been a head coach. That New Orleans is in a terrible cap situation.
They also hired
$60 million over the cap before they start anything.
So Doug Nussmeier got the OC gig. That was yesterday. We didn't report it, but a lot of guys around here know Doug Nussmeier.
He has his staff. I mean, rumor had it that he had already had his staff basically finished by the time the Super Bowl ran around.
Number two.
number two.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone on the text line said they had the same issue where the old school pale ale...
We're back to that.
...is not... It's not that common. So oftentimes when bartenders hear pale ale,
yeah,
they just instantly pour an IPA.
Yeah, I can see that.
But to old fat tire drinkers like me...
Yeah, you want the actual pale ale.
Pale ale, yeah. The old Sierra Nevada pale ale is a good beer, I think. The old fat tire, I liked it. It was a good pale ale. Deschutes has Mirror Pond, good pale ale.
That is true. You know what? I don't mind a Deschutes Mirror Pond.
That's a good beer.
I'll give you that. That's a solid beer.
Yeah, I don't even know if they make it anymore. But
I would assume.
Oh, they make it still. That's like a flagship.
That's a good beer
for them.
Yeah, that was like one of their gold standards.
Well, I don't drink a lot of beer, but how you doing? Whoa. Oh, wow. I thought it was a different kind of...
Oh, my gosh.
What is happening out there?
Well, just nothing. Oh, don't even worry about it.
No. Ludwig falling over yet?
Well, we got. Well, we'll explain later.
Hey, no, we won't. We're not going to explain later.
Yeah,
No, we're not. We're going to just let that go. Buck, don't bring that up again.
I don't even know what happened.
Just don't. Don't ask.
Just remind us to let you know. We'll let you know. Yankees play. I told you it'd be number one. Yankees players are now allowed to have well-groomed beards. That's how slow this news day is.
Yeah, but now we got into a whole thing of what is the definition of a well-groomed beard.
Yeah, and that's, I guess it's up to Hal Steinbrenner.
Right? So now you have to go before a board to get your beard approved?
Apparently.
Like, I don't know, take a little bit off the sides.
You know, guys, this is a policy that the Yankees have had in place since 1976 with old Georgie, who would not allow his players to have beards.
No, you can only have a well-groomed mustache.
So finally, justice for Johnny Damon.
Yeah, but I still don't think Johnny Damon wouldn't be allowed to have the hair, and his beard would not be considered well-groomed.
Well, they certainly can't get, who's the guy for the Phillies?
Oh, yeah.
Marsh?
Brandon Marsh, that greaseball.
Dude, that guy, let's play the fun game of what does he smell like?
He looks homeless.
And he's always wet.
Yeah. He is greasy.
What is that?
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. He says he likes the way his hair feels better when it's wet, so he never wears it dry.
Boy, that is a...
Yeah. Well, he's no Yankee.
No, he is not.
It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Let's do a seggy on this Nebraska-Tennessee thing, and then Joey Harrington will join us for Hot Sports Talk next.
About time.
On the Fan. This Nebraska-Tennessee thing is wild. Actually, it's not.
No, Nebraska.
It doesn't really matter.
Nebraska's just getting dragged, and they should. And this is—I just think it's problematic with college football.
Yes.
And this is the issue here, in that we love college football, and college football is great. But for everyone that's bitching and moaning that college football is missing the point of, if you keep pissing off fans, eventually fans are going to get fed up with this, and Nebraska. Nebraska is doing something for, quote, their bottom line that is really doing a disservice to fans. And fans everywhere, including their own, are calling them out, and they should.
So what happened was...
This is some BS.
So Nebraska and Tennessee, this is crazy. This is a glaring indictment on college football.
Yes.
As much as we love college football, this right here is the root of its... Like, if you, there's a lot of problems in college football, but if you had to pinpoint
this
is the biggest one.
I think so.
That Nebraska and Tennessee have been trying to schedule a home and home for 20 years.
And they got it finally.
Well, they got it twice.
Yeah.
So they started talking in 2006. They set the dates for 2016, 2017. In 2013, they delayed it for a decade, so they pushed it to 2026, 2027, and now Nebraska just recently called those games off.
Yep.
They are citing stadium renovations.
Which is horse crap.
Tennessee is pissed about it. Nebraska only has to pay $500,000 to get out of it.
Yep.
Tennessee is like, well, now we're in a real pickle. Because, you know, it's just hard to schedule.
And it's hard to schedule real teams. Tennessee's going to end up having to schedule, like, Tennessee Tech.
Well, and that's what Nebraska's doing. They're replacing those two games with, like, Bowling Green and somebody else.
Nebraska basically is saying that because of renovations, they're going to have smaller seating, and they want more home games – So they're not going to go play at Tennessee. They're going to replace those games at Tennessee and the home games with the Bowling Greens of the world, saying that they need the income from those extra home games. And so instead of just going to play at Tennessee twice and having Tennessee come back to their place, they're just playing four patsies all at home, which is absolute horse crap.
But that doesn't make any sense, because those home games against lesser teams, they have to pay the other school.
But their point is that by going to Tennessee, they said that this is why I think the whole thing is crap. They're claiming that they're going to make more money by just having extra home
games. No chance.
Exactly.
No chance.
This is crap. And you've taken the Nebraska fan base and said, hey, for 4 years, you get to play one of the marquee, you know, teams in college football, Tennessee, and now you're like, no. Instead, you get to pay full price to watch us play Bowling Green. What was the other? It was Bowling Green.
I forget the other one.
Same.
I don't know.
Losers that you don't give a damn about. And this is the biggest problem. And I'll say this to any. I'll say it to Oregon. I'll say it to Washington. I'll say it to Michigan. You are charging an arm and a leg for these tickets. And you have to do the whole donation thing, and you know, they're bending people over left and right, and this thing is more expensive than ever. And for a lot of these teams, you're giving them maybe two or three games a year that are worth a damn. Dude, if I was one of these season ticket holders, I wouldn't stand for this one bit.
Well, I think that one thing that is good in this regard is that, like, for example, we had Georgia-UMass this year.
Yes.
Georgia UMass, you know, UMass was like 2-8. Mm-hmm. They had just fired their coach. They didn't even have a quarterback. The spread was like 60. 60.
Yeah. Why are we playing
that? By the way, UMass covered. Well, we're playing that game because UMass needs the money.
Yeah.
And we're also playing that game because Georgia needs a cupcake.
They just want to win.
Right? So what you have is you have schools buying and selling games.
Yes.
And sometimes when you're a buyer, you're also a seller, because, for example, UMass then went and played Western Connecticut and sold it. They were the Georgia of that scenario.
Yep.
So it's a really bad model.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, well, I'll get back to what my original point was. I think one thing that is changing that is good is that this settlement and having to pay whatever it is, $20 million a year to athletes, is going to mean that the Georgias of the world will stop playing those crappy ass games because they don't want to pay the $2 million. It was $1.9 million that UMass got to play that game.
Yeah.
They're gonna stop playing those games because that costs them too much money.
Yeah.
Right? So in one way that furthers the gap between the haves and have nots, because UMass can't, they said that was a third of UMass's their revenue.
Yeah, that's
it was
why
a third of their revenue.
That's why they do
which it. Is why they'll go play that game. As a matter of fact, I think UMass, they said, played three SEC teams this year.
Yeah, I remember, I forget who it was, but there was a school years ago that played like the number 3, number 6, and number 10 team in their non-conference, and they lost those games by, you know, like 140 combined points. And the guy was like, this is what we have to do in order to stay afloat.
But the thing that's good for fans is, and the SEC and the Big Ten have already said this, is that they are going to play more sort of revenue-driven matchups. And UMass is certainly not, it's not for revenue.
No.
You just want the win. So they're going to stop playing as many of those games, and they'll play more games where they make more money, which is good. The residual problem with that is all the little guys, where do they get the how do they make up the $2 million they made by playing Georgia?
And they may not, and while it sucks, they may have to go to a different model. You can't keep doing this. Nebraska is replacing Tennessee with Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, and Northern Iowa. I don't know.
Well, the guaranteed games are all crap games.
Yes.
And fans will not want to come.
Yeah.
And fans yet, don't want to watch.
And yet you still have to pay full price for those games with your season tickets.
But they're, well, right. But they're, right now in the current model, they're a necessity because, again, the bigger school wants the win and the smaller school wants the money.
Yeah.
So what do you do to change that?
I just, honestly, smaller schools, and maybe this is ultimately just, you already have two separate divisions, but we can't keep propping this thing up. I think it's Joe Klatt that talks about that this new era of college football that we're going into does not, you can't have it live in the same world as the old system. And I feel bad for UMass, but if I'm a Tennessee fan, if I'm a Nebraska fan, UMass is not my concern. And if UMass ultimately can't field the football team, I'm sorry, then go down to the Division II model. Go down to something where, I mean, because those schools exist, you know, the Linfields of the world. Like, it just, you can't keep asking fans to go to these games. You know, it's like the Nick Sabans of the world then bitch and moan that the fans leave early. You can't play those games. It is a model that I think is fundamentally broken. And the only reason they get away with it is the, quote, passionate fan base. But when you only have a handful of these games a year, the idea of taking one away that as a fan of Nebraska that you would want to travel to and you would certainly want to go see and replacing it with a game that is an absolute, it's just an atrocious matchup. I just don't know how you keep getting away with it. As a fan, I would be offended. As a season ticket holder, I would be livid.
This is where it starts. When you talk about correcting college football and making it a better product, you have to balance the schedules.
Yeah.
And it starts with this. Did you know there's a company called Gridiron that basically they just match teams? So basically an AD will give Gridiron their considerations for wanting to play a game. Is it money? Is it, you know, TV ratings, whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll match them with other schools and they'll match games that way.
Yeah.
All of that needs to just go out the window.
Yes.
It just needs to be a more streamlined, balanced schedule that's fair for everyone. And yes, maybe there are going to be some casualties.
Sure.
Like UMass Oregon State it's just, that's the way it is now.
And that's Klatt's whole point. It's the same thing with like the bowl games. You're trying to move into this golden age of football where we're making more money. The athletes are getting a cut of it. The fans are going to benefit from this because of better matchups. All of these things moving in the right direction. And yet you're still trying to hold on to the archaic way of bowl games being so important and playing, you know, the UMasses of the world. You know, one team basically buying a victory. Like, if you are a big time team, you can't, especially in the SEC, with a bad non conference, you're giving your fans basically three bye weeks that there's no reason to show up, and then you're probably giving them at least two more because there's going to be bad teams in the conference. So you're asking your fan base to pay attention to maybe 3 to 4 games a year. And I just don't see how in any other sport you would get away with that, but college football has gotten away with it for years.
I don't know that they're trying to hold on to it. I think they all know it needs to change. It's just a really big operation that is it's hard to turn that boat around.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, you're talking about in football, you're talking about 125 schools, you know, and that's just at the one level.
Yeah.
So that's a really hard thing to just flip on a dime, you know. So, and they're working on it, and we're already getting this with the SEC and the Big Ten saying, "Hey, we're just going to go play each other in these big non-conference matchups to make a bunch of money." But what does that mean for all the other schools that aren't in the Big Ten and the SEC?
And Bartu has talked about this, and he said it for years. It doesn't matter who you play; it just matters wins and losses. And so, for a lot of these schools, they look at it not only as a financial thing, but if you have playoff aspirations. I keep waiting for a committee to really punish teams for not playing anyone. And so far we haven't, because we all know that being a one-loss team or being an undefeated team, regardless of what your schedule is, still better than than we have to start rewarding
people for
scheduling real tough games.
Well, I think that's going to change.
I hope so.
Because more of the big schools and big conferences
will get guaranteed
are trying to make money. Yeah, like they're wanting to play these big. It's amazing that you're right. The way to win is just schedule patsies
and win
all your games. Yeah. But actually, schools don't even care about that. The SECs and Big Tens of the world aren't looking at it that way. They're looking at it, well, we need to play as many good, tough games as we can because that means more money.
Yeah.
It's all about money.
Yeah.
In a residual way, that's good for college football.
Yeah, and hopefully by the expanded playoff or guaranteed spots, hopefully it finally incentivizes teams to schedule big games. And if you lose them, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
But we've lived in a system where losing one game or two games is an absolute death sentence, and that has led to BS scheduling.
All right, our friend Joey Harrington will join us next. Tune in to find out what we discuss with him. Who knows on a day like today? That's when we're back here at the Convention Center.
Yes.
It's Isaac and Suk. Let's go to Buckwest Sports Center.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's story time with Joey Harrington live from the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle.
You're going to become a motorcycle man?
No, but I'm not getting e-scooter.
They're here.
That's badass right there.
Here's our friend Joey. Hello.
I have a Vespa.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can see you. I crashed one of those stupid e-scooters the other day. That thing sucked.
Vespas are great. My wife wants one, and I'm okay with it.
We, Emily got me a Vespa, hold on, 46, so 16 years ago. And, you know, I bopped around the neighborhood in Atlanta, and it was, you know, kind of fun. And then it went into storage, you know, when we moved. And then, like, a few years ago, actually, it was right during, right after COVID. I was like, what is this thing? I was like, oh, yeah, let's get the hog tuned up. So, you know, it's been kind of fun, not gonna lie.
Yeah, if you go like on vacation to, you know, like, I don't know, when we were in Asia, they drive them all the time, or like some of the Latin American countries, everyone rides around on those things. And instead of renting cars, you just, like, the family rents a couple of scooters, and it's kind of fun to zip around.
I am not gonna lie, one of the craziest things I've seen was in Indonesia, and there was a family of five.
Yeah.
And a pet dog,
yeah,
on the Vespa.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. Yeah. Like, I was like, that is impressive.
Yeah, look, it's a great way to get around, yeah, and it's quite convenient. But in Oregon, it rains a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why we haven't pulled the trigger.
Yeah, it's a summertime sort of thing. Well, you got all
why the hog's in the garage right now. I mean,
yeah.
But those Lime scooters are everywhere. I got a buddy of mine right now that he sold his car and he's buying another one. And, like, he just hasn't pulled the trigger on it. And he just scooters everywhere he goes. And he's like, what's it? It's cold. He's like, I don't know. I put on a scarf. And, yeah, he cruises around the city on these Lime scooters, and he loves it.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to go. The Italians do it, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Italians do it. We did one of those tours,
yeah,
through Tuscany.
Yeah.
It was great. That's what made us want to buy one.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. Of course,
yeah,
the wineries and the scenery,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the
that
weather.
We don't quite have that part,
yeah,
but we have the scooter.
So when's the next time you will take the Vespa out?
Oh, the hog?
Yeah, the hog, sorry. What will you do?
The hog, yeah. What will I do? I don't know, like, go to, like, the grocery store or something?
I can't wait to be driving down the street and seeing Joey tootling around on a Vespa going to the grocery store.
Are you, like, helmet up and everything, or are you kind of just freewheeling it?
What do you mean? I wear a helmet. I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, you do remember that I spent 3 days in the ICU, after the whole head injury, like, almost dying kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you learned.
So.
Well, because again, when you rent those scooters, like, those things go like 20 miles an hour and there's no helmets or whatever. You just get on them, and half the time people are in the bag and people are zipping around on those things, and there's no one rides a helmet. It's like, it's a weird. Like, the motorcycle, you always ride a helmet. I feel like the scooter, I find most of the time people aren't wearing helmets.
Yeah. You're talking about, like, the e-scooter things?
Well, either way, like, I see people on whether it's a Vespa or a little Kawasaki or the e-scooter, like, everyone wears a helmet when they ride a bike. Everyone rides or wears a helmet when they ride a motorcycle. The scooter, for whatever reason, people don't take serious enough to wear one, and it's kind of silly, because if you wear one on a bike, you should certainly wear one on a scooter. But I see it all the time.
Absolutely. No, there's when I get on the hog, it's we're strapping the helmet on.
Do you have a statement on the death of Quactavius?
Oh, man, that's I didn't even I was not super familiar with Quactavius, I got to be honest. And I read up on him and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that gentleman. And that's sad.
Yeah,
do we have, somebody suggested to me that it could be foul play. I mean, if you're going.
Oh, come.
Look, I enjoyed
Delete.
That. I love a good pun.
That is a zero out of 10.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, you did too.
No, I didn't.
So Quactavius is a duck.
Yeah.
A little duck who...
I didn't even think about that. I was thinking more Harry the Husky poisoned him.
Oh. Mm. When you say foul play, you think somebody killed
foul,
the duck?
Like F-O-W. You know, I heard he was healthy the night before and then healthy that morning. And then he went to, you know, a guy went to class and came back and he was gone.
That's like, what he said.
That stuff doesn't just happen.
I
think it does with ducks, doesn't it?
Well, okay. Well, I guess
I assume anything that's small from a duck to a a hamster or whatever. I feel like those things die for no reason. Rabbits.
Yeah.
You just wake up one day and they're dead.
That happened to our guinea pig.
Yeah, they just die. You're like, why did it die? I don't know, because it's a guinea pig.
Because they're stupid animals.
Yeah.
Now, the duck, okay, so for those who don't know who Quacktavius
and I learned about it like 2 days ago. I had no idea.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
It was a little duck that some student from Mississippi, he's a student at Oregon, originally from Mississippi, he got little Quacktavius as a duckling in Mississippi. Yeah. He brought it to Oregon.
Brought it to Oregon.
And it went to a football game.
Yeah, he went to a game, the Colorado game in 2023. It became this viral thing. And now he goes, it's his bit. He goes everywhere with Quacktavius.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
And now Quacktavius is dead.
Well, he's a jerk.
He's got to replace.
Well, yeah.
I mean, don't you think he's got to get Quacktavius 2?
Yes, and this is why Electric Boogaloo, and this is why people don't take the death of these things seriously, because I feel like if your duck dies, like, what's a duck cost you? Like, 6 cents? Like, I'll get you, just go buy, like, a little baby duck. Those things can't be more than $5. So I feel like they're kind of, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Can you really have, I mean, was that legal, Quacktavius?
Oh.
You guys are truly coming at it from a fiscal point of view. What you're completely ignoring is the emotional toll that this took on. Like he said in his interview, like, I was broken up. I couldn't go to class the next day. Like, that's a thing. Like, let's not discount the connection between a man and his duck.
Would it be insensitive for me to ask if they could fry up Quacktavius at this point?
What sort of crispiness are we talking about?
I mean, go to waste.
Well, see, and that's another weird thing is when you have a pet die, but it's a pet that you're allowed to eat, that gets into an awkward territory. I've told the story. I had a Polynesian family growing up that I was really close friends with, and they had a pig named Wilbur. And unbeknownst to me, I was invited over to a barbecue once. Guess what was on the menu?
Ooh.
Yeah. It really bothered me. I felt like I should have been told that Wilbur was being served. It jammed me up. Now,
why? Why?
Because I had petted Wilbur and it had a name. That you can't show up.
So it was just like pig 1173 that ended up as bacon. Like, I'm guessing you've never turned down bacon. Like, no. I've never turned down, you know. So what is the
You can't show up to someone's house that you've been there 100 times and you've met their pet 50 times. You can't just show up and start eating and then in the middle of your meal someone to be like, oh, by the way, that's Wilbur. It ruins the whole barbecue. It's a game changer. You need to be made aware of that. But that's the thing about the duck. If you have a pet that you can eat, I think that's where people are like, how much of an emotional attachment can you have? That's why, like, the cat and the dog and, like, the horse, they get elevated. Whereas the pig, the duck, the whatever, I think people push that aside.
The cow.
Cow, yes.
Hmm. Well, rest in peace.
I don't know where we're going with this, but,
I know.
You know,
it's,
there we go.
It's gotten away from us again.
I love cows.
Quacktavius, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah. And to that guy, you'll buy another duckling and you'll call it Quacktavius 2 and you'll keep doing your bit.
Okay, do we think Joey watched hockey last night?
Ooh.
I don't know if he did or not. We're going to find out. Next on The Fan, Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX.
They're eating the pets.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Let's get into something of substance. Although, let me tell you something, Joey. This is where we earn our money this time of year. Do you know what the headline in sports today is? The Yankees
the
have
headline?
Changed. Yes.
Yeah. Facial hair. The facial hair policy.
Yes. Yeah. That's the big story in sports today. Yes.
Someone asked the Mets manager about it today at spring training, and you should have seen the look on his face. He's just like, are we seriously, we're doing this?
Really talking? Well, no, so this is why you have me on. So this is the whole, like, for story time in these dead times. You didn't even ask if I went to Vegas last weekend.
You went to Vegas last weekend? How did it go? How much money did you make?
Well, we went out for a soccer tournament, and the first, on Saturday, the first game was at 9:30 a.m., and the second game was at 8 p.m., and so, of course, I had to go play golf in between.
Ooh, where'd you go?
I played at the Wynn.
Ooh, fancy. I played there one time. Great course. What did you think?
I thought it was fun. It's not like a championship course.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a lot of fun to play, and it's like right out the back door, and it's like, wow, this is kind of cool. And if you make a hole in one on 18, they give you like $20,000.
I think it's 10,000, but I was gonna ask you, how did you do on that? It's a tough par three, depending on what tee you play, but they do
You can choose which tee you want. So from the back tees, it's $20,000, and then the second tees, it's $15,000, and then the next tees up, it's $10,000. But like that's the best value, is they call it. Like you can choose and just walk up to those tees and knock it in the hole for $10,000.
Did you hit it close?
I was online and I cut a little thick, hit the front of the green, spun it back.
Well, I put it in the water.
No $10,000.
Ooh, good. Nobody laughed at you?
No,
nobody,
they did.
Anybody jeering? They did? Okay.
No, they laughed. Good. I don't even think they spoke English and they were laughing. They were laughing in Japanese.
And what a great tie-in. I was playing with three guys from Canada that day, and that was the day that the first U.S.-Canada hockey match was happening.
The boom.
And we were coming
North
off
America.
The course, and then there were three fights, and the dude was like, this is crazy. So that's how I figured it out.
So did you win a bunch of money?
No, I didn't. I'm beyond the gamble a lot. Like I've been around people who gamble a lot and had been in that world for a while. Not like gambling myself, but like watching people gamble, and it's like that. I just have a hard time doing. I was sitting at a table and watched Charles Barkley play three hands of blackjack at the same time, all of which were $33,000 a piece. And like,
did he win
$100,000? Oh, he won some, he lost some. I don't understand how you can be up and down millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Just coming, but to have $100,000 on the table on every time the cards come out, I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Do you think that gets him even remotely nervous?
Not if that's his starting bet. I don't know.
Well, he's talked about it. He's admitted that it was a problem.
He's lost a lot of money.
Yeah, he claims he has lost a fortune.
I wonder if he still gambles. You're one of the smart ones. There's no reason to play those games. It's a losing proposition. I mean, it can be fun.
I tried it once. So I tried the idea that if you double what you lost on your next bet, then you always make it up, right?
Yeah.
But like, so you're a college kid and you're used to the first couple times you go, it's like you're looking for the $10 tables or the $5 tables, and so I found like a $25 table or whatever. It's like, let's do this, like we're gonna, okay, $50 out on a hand and lost, and so the next time you had to put $100 and then lost, and now I'm down $150, and so then you gotta and I lost like 6-7 hands in a row, and I got to the point where it was like $1,500, or it was like $2,000 that I was down. I was like, this is not cool. And so I put out the $2,000, and the dealer says, excuse me, sir, but you've exceeded the table maximum. I was like, table maximum? What the hell is a table maximum? Like, I've always looked for this, like, a table minimum. Like, what's the minimum bet you could put out there? I was like, no, there's a maximum as well. And I looked, and sure enough, it was like $1,500. And so I had exceeded the maximum. So I was like, well, okay, fine, we'll do that. And so I won that hand. And then, like, that's it, I'm done. Like, I didn't quite make it all back. But I was like, screw this. Like, this is too nerve-wracking. Yeah. And so I packed up my chips and I left.
In a stunning turn of event, the games favor the house.
But that strategy, I have seen people that are actually really good card players.
Yeah, but when they max the table, you can't. Yeah. I mean, they know what they're doing. Yeah. They're gonna get you one way or the other.
If you're a good player, that is a solid strategy. You just have to have the balls to keep going.
Oh my God! Putting $1,000 on the blackjack table is like no. Like, what the hell am I doing? Like,
it's not your sensibilities.
This is stupid.
Yeah, and it is. What? You're right about that. No one will argue with that. Now, did you? So you stayed at the Wynn?
I did.
Did you? What restaurants did you try? Because they have outstanding restaurants.
In case you couldn't tell, Rob is a fan of the Wynn.
P1, yeah. We go there twice a year.
Oh, really?
Sometimes three or four.
Let's see. What restaurants?
Six.
One night, there was like takeout from a Hawaiian place in the lobby of the Hampton Inn. And then one night, there was I was there for a soccer tournament, right?
Yeah.
You know, so
it's not eating.
Yeah, he's with the kids.
And I was by myself too.
Oh,
like, so the kids were all staying. Like that was the thing. It was like, okay, so Emily and I were trying to decide, okay, who's going to go to the tournament. I went to the one in Phoenix, and she, you know, I was like, hey, it's your turn if you want to go. You know, watch Jack in the tournament. She's like, well, going to Vegas. Like, who can I get to go to Vegas with me on short notice? And she said, if you go, at least you can go play golf. I was like, well, I guess I could. So I just sent my golf clubs out there and played at the Wynn and then played at Cascada and, you know, it just played some golf. So it's just kind of me by myself. Like, I'm fine going to breakfast with a cup of coffee in the, you know, in the New York Times, like, Wordle app, but like sitting at dinner, you know, in Vegas by yourself would be like, doo, 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 doo.
Understood. I thought maybe the Emily was there with
the
you.
Misses.
Yeah. So did you watch hockey last night?
I watched some of it.
Okay.
I did. I watched the whole third period. I watched half the first period. I had to take the kids to soccer practice last night or something like that.
Here we go with the kids again.
Those damn kids.
You know, they ain't gone yet. Not until they're out of the house. But I turned it off for just a second and I came back for overtime and it was done.
Well, it was a good game. Very patriotic moment in sports.
Yeah.
What is your most patriotic moment?
Boy. Oh, we were on the under deck of the U.S. What's the aircraft carrier in San Diego?
Midway.
Yes. And we were playing Texas in the Holiday Bowl, and the two bands were there. We were having a luncheon, and the two bands were facing off to see which band got to play the national anthem before the Holiday Bowl that year. And whoever was deciding was there. Texas played theirs, and it was fine. The Oregon band played the national anthem, and it was the version that they play now, and it was the first time they had played it. It was literally the most... It was to be inside of an aircraft carrier, right, with a, you know, call it a 10, 12-foot ceiling, surrounded by metal. You want to talk about, like, the acoustics of just blowing your hair off. It was the most incredible rendition of the national anthem I have ever heard, like, brought me to tears type of moment, and that is what they play every time before the game now. That's awesome. The version that they play.
Cool.
Yeah, those patriotic moments will get you. I got to be fortunate enough to be on the field for Army Navy a couple years ago in Philly, and the combined choirs of the cadets and the midshipmen came out and got together and you know, put all the rivalry aside, and they like joined hands and sung, and then they did the flyovers, and I was crying with that. Like, those moments, you know, I try not to be like too, you know, we're great and everyone else sucks, because I think that's a bad way to do it. But there's nothing wrong with feeling pride, and every now and then that gets you right in the old heartstrings.
Here's a question for you. We'll wrap it up on this. What do you think is the most patriotic moment in U.S. sports history? Is it Miracle on Ice?
That's mine.
What is it to you?
Wow.
The Jesse
most
Owens.
Patriotic moment.
Except then we
in
brought
US.
Him home and treated him like dog crap. That kind of hurts.
Still, it was, you know, that moment was
beating Hitler.
The moment, but it wasn't here.
No, that was over in. But that's
that was
go,
in Berlin.
To go into his house and do that. That's
You
know, that was iconic.
Hey, what about the George W. Bush first pitch?
That's what I was thinking about the Yankees.
That was like goosebumps.
That was literally that's the first thing that came to mind. But you mentioned the Olympics. I was like, does it have to be the Olympics? That probably what year was Miracle on Ice? 1980. I mean, I was alive, but I didn't know anything. I mean, I would probably have to say in my lifetime, it would be the first pitch with the Yankees.
It was a moment.
Yeah. And he had a bulletproof vest on. And
he threw it was just perfect.
Yeah.
He threw a strike.
It was that moment. Yeah.
We were all worried that, like, remember that feeling
of,
like, why is he doing this?
Yeah.
he could get killed.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Which is really silly, but...
And it feels like the last time, too, that everyone was kind of on the same page. Like, no matter who the president now is, half the crowd would hate him. And in that moment, everyone just, everyone was on the same page, and that was pretty cool.
Tell you what, you know what else gets me is that Whitney Houston national anthem.
Yeah. Ooh. That'll get you.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, you have a wonderful weekend.
Say hi to Emmett for me. He's out at the auto show.
Oh, good. We will. He's getting a car, putting it on your Amex Black.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I sent him a picture where, you know, in the, don't they have like a, at the Wynn, they have the McLaren shop and
yes.
the Bugatti or Bugatti. Not Bugatti, but no, it's a P. It starts with a P. Anyway, I sent him a couple pictures. He's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go buy one of those. Like, yep, you go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. More from the auto show with Club next on The Fan.